Acts chapter 9. We read last week, a couple weeks ago, we started looking a little bit at Paul and his wonderful stand for the truth of God's word. I mentioned at the time that we would start looking a little bit at the church epistles and some of the doctrinal portions of church epistles. Before we get to that, and it'll take probably a couple more times, I want to look at the backdrop of the church epistles and what was going on and some of the journeys that took place so we can frame our minds as to exactly what was going on. So this week we'll start to go as far as we can, and we'll stop when people give me rude looks.
There's more snoring
than actual teaching. But just by way of background, so up behind me I'm going to just show some of the maps and places Paul the Apostle was when certain things happened, and we'll see a little bit of that, and hopefully that'll be helpful. I know it helps me when I'm reading to know where he was and what was going on in the situation, to frame what was given to him. Acts chapter 1 and 2, just to get some chronology set, took place, to the best of our understanding. A lot of this work comes from Reverend Walter Cummins, so if you have a greater interest in looking at it in more detail, I can recommend some books. Acts chapter 1 and 2 took place around 28 AD. That's when roughly the day of Pentecost took place. We get to Acts chapter 9. We see, and I'll mention the years as we get to them, as we go through this. Acts chapter 9, we read in verse 1, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest, and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, and that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven." So this here, you'll see, is a map of the Holy Land, and roughly to give you a good idea where Damascus and Jerusalem are, that's the path that Paul would have taken from Jerusalem on the way up to Damascus. And when he got to Damascus, in verse 4, "And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the city." So Jesus Christ told him to go into Damascus, right into the city. "And it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple of Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. The Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth, hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done thy saints at Jerusalem, and here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And we'll see some of that. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been, scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. And when he had received strength, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. So Paul stayed in Damascus for a while, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem, and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus," he's still at Damascus, "proving that this is very Christ." Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. That also talks about this time. And in Galatians chapter 1, read verse 15. Paul, speaking of this in the future, says, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood." He didn't hang around and talk to anybody. "Neither went I up to Jerusalem." He didn't go to Jerusalem. Now, you'll notice every time when the Bible refers to up to a city or down to a city, it's always the opposite of what we say in the West, right? Because here, if he was in Damascus, he would have gone down to Jerusalem. But here he says up. You'll always see in the Holy Lands, it's always the opposite, right? Up is south and down is north, right? In their way of thinking in terms of going up to a city or down to a city. So he said, "I didn't go up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me." So he was in Damascus. He didn't go to Jerusalem. "But I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." So he spent some time in Arabia. Then he came back to Damascus. "Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days." So that's what happened when Paul first was ministered to by Ananias. He spent time in Arabia, came back to Damascus, and didn't go to Jerusalem for 3 years. Spent 3 years of his life in Damascus in the surrounding area. Let's go to Acts chapter 9. Back to Acts 9. Let's see what happened after this time. Verse 26, now we pick up when he comes to Damascus, to Jerusalem, after those 3 years. "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. And he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea." So look at that. "They brought him down to Caesarea," which is really north in biblical reckoning, right? He was in Jerusalem. They brought him down to Caesarea, and it says here, "and sent him forth to Tarsus." And that would have taken him back to where Paul originally was from. So he went to Caesarea and then sailed all the way to Tarsus. "Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit were multiplied." Let's go to Acts 22. I'm going to show you something in Acts 22. Because here in this part of Acts, it doesn't talk about this, but it's interesting. In Acts 22, when he looks back on that time that he spent at Jerusalem, when he is making his defense in verse 17 of 22, "And it came to pass, when I was again come to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance or an astonishment, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beaten every synagogue them that believed on thee, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles." You see, so when Paul was in Jerusalem, Jesus Christ told him, "Don't stay, they're not going to listen to you." So because of that, they sent him back to Tarsus, as we've seen there. Let's go to Acts chapter 11 now. So Paul left by revelation from Jerusalem. Acts chapter 11. Verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus. So we know we left Paul in Tarsus a little while ago. So Barnabas goes to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. So Barnabas went to Tarsus and brought him back to Antioch, and that's Antioch of Syria. There was another Antioch in Pisidia as well, which they traveled to later. But they brought him, so Barnabas goes there, brings him back, as we see on the map. And it came to pass that a whole year, so they spent a whole year there, they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. So they were there a whole year teaching in Antioch. Let's go to now what happens? Verse 27, and those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, so they came all the way up, or down, as the Bible would say, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So Barnabas and Paul from there would travel up to Jerusalem to deliver the money and abundant sharing that the believers put together because of the dearth that came. So they would have gone down to Jerusalem. I haven't shown that on the map. And then in Acts chapter 12, let's go to verse 21. And upon a set day, now this is when they're in Jerusalem, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them, and the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not a man." Immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem. So they went back, now they're back in Antioch again, when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now this happened in approximately 44 AD. So we get a little bit of a reckoning. Acts chapter 1 and 2 was about 28 AD, and this is 44 AD, approximately 16 years after Pentecost. Right? Gives you kind of an understanding of how the Word of God was moving and how many years have passed. Let's go to Acts chapter 13, please. So here, it says here, Paul's first journey began from Antioch. And so when they first took their journey, they were in Antioch of Syria. And here, Acts 13 and 14 talk about Paul's first journey. And on the first journey, it was Paul and Barnabas and this John Mark that they just brought back with them. Now, on their way, they went to, as you can see on the map, they went to Cyprus. And then from there, they made their way across the island. And then they went to the mainland in a place called Perga and Pamphylia. We're not going to read the whole itinerary. You can read that at your own leisure. But in Acts 13, it's 13:13, it says, "Now when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga and Pamphylia. And John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem." So John Mark only went as far as Perga, and from there he sailed back to Jerusalem, leaving only Paul and Barnabas to continue that journey. And from that journey, they went to Antioch of Pisidia, Iconium, Lystra, and a lot of things happened in this journey that they took. This is the full route that we're looking at now of the whole first journey of Paul the Apostle. Paul was stoned at Lystra. He taught in the synagogues, that was his manner. And as they were going in their journey, they started taking the word of God more and more to the Gentiles, right? And that's exactly what Jesus Christ had told him. He said he was going to take the word of God to kings, to Israel, and to the Gentiles. And you see, as you read that journey, Paul starts to take the word of God more and more to the Gentiles. Many times his manner was to preach first in synagogue, and they wouldn't listen, right? In one case, he was stoned and left for dead, right? Maybe, you know, deaths often, as he mentioned, as we looked at last week, 2 weeks ago in Corinthians. One of the deaths often was being stoned by the Judeans in Lystra, right? So he went more and more. Many signs and wonders followed them as they believed the Lord. And let's go to Acts chapter 14. Near the end of the first journey, when they come back to Antioch, something interesting happens. Again, if you follow the map and you read the book of Acts, it's a lot of fun. Acts 14, verse 27. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And we see that as we read through that first itinerary or journey. Many times the Gentiles were, well, we want you to preach the word to us now, because they, you know, the Judeans first heard it. And there they abode long time with the disciples. And certain men which came down, here it is again, down from Judea, right, taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. And therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them. They determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when you read these, you know, and if you look at it in great detail, when they went somewhere and preached God's word, there were signs and wonders, right? It wasn't just, you know, just as you might think of an itinerary or a journey where people go through and they do a little seminar. And people say, well, that's great. And they clap their hands and they go home and they go about their business. No, what really convinced, and we're not going to read the account of the council at Jerusalem. We're not going to read that today. But what really convinced those guys was the signs and wonders that Paul and Barnabas saw amongst the Gentiles. They were really believing. They were believing God. When the word of God is preached, when we go to the word of God in our own lives, you know, there's a reason God had these things recorded in his word. It's not just history, right? It's for us to see how when the word of God is preached, it is to be accompanied by signs and wonders. And that's what Paul and Barnabas said when they got to that council. They said, well, we saw signs and wonders among the Gentiles, right? In verse 15, verse 35, chapter 15, verse 35, near the end of that chapter, what happened in the council, as you will remember, is they wrote letters that were then taken by Paul and Barnabas and others to the Gentiles who had believed, giving them some instruction on what to do. And they sent the letter with them up to Antioch. And so up in Antioch, in verse 35, Paul and also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. So they wanted to go and, you know, build them up again. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. Now remember John Mark back in Perga of Pamphylia, he had sailed back to Jerusalem. Now Barnabas wants to take John Mark with them. Verse 38, but Paul thought not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. He only went a certain way and didn't complete the journey, so but Paul was, well, don't really want to do that. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other, and so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus, and Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. So they separated, and we know, again, we're not going to look at the record where it talks about in Galatia, part of the reason they had separated was because of the legalism that had crept into the believers and including Barnabas, who was carried away by the hypocrisy of the believers who were, when the Judeans came up, they stopped eating with the Gentiles because they wanted to associate only with the Judeans. That was the backdrop of what was happening. So you start to see a little bit of a split or division in the church. And that's a backdrop of some of the writings of the church epistles, which we'll look at eventually. So the second journey of Paul, we just noted that Barnabas took John Mark and went to Cyprus, which is the other way, and Paul and Silas went the other way. Remember, the first route was all the way around. They went the other way. Let's go to Acts chapter 15, verse... where do I go to... 16, sorry. Verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and list Lystra, which you see on the map. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy or Timotheus. This is where Paul meets Timothy, up in Lystra or Derbe. Lystra. A certain disciple. And the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So a Gentile father and Judean mother. Which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek or a Gentile. So Paul has him circumcised. Verse 4, and as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So that letter and those writings that they had done at the Council of Jerusalem, now Paul and Silas are taken to all the churches up through Syria and Cilicia. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. So in this particular journey, Paul goes through Phrygia, regions of Galatia, Mysia, and Troas, and eventually ends up over at Troas, which is over on the coast of the sea there, as you'll see. And he is forbidden to speak the word of God in certain parts of Asia, so he went around and made his way over to Troas, because God said, no, don't speak there. Right? And he ended up over at Troas. From Troas, Paul saw a vision. He saw a man of Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And because of that vision, they went through Samothracia, Neapolis, and they went up eventually to the chief city of Macedonia called Philippi. Again, you can read this itinerary on your own and what happened, but some of the key events, they ended up meeting Lydia. Remember Lydia, seller of purple? There was that woman that Paul healed who was possessed, who kept following them around and around, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. He healed that woman. They were imprisoned. The jailer got born again and let them go, and the Romans came and had to ask them to leave. They didn't know that they themselves were Romans, but they were asked to leave the prison. Then they went through Amphipolis, Apollonia, and Thessalonica. And that's is where the arrow right now is. Let's go to Acts chapter 17. Just going to look at a couple of verses here. In Thessalonica, let's go. Acts chapter 17, verse 10. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. There was an uproar in Thessalonica, so the believers told him to leave, and he went to Berea. And it says here in verse 11, these were in Berea were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women, which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, so they're back in Thessalonica, and Paul has been asked to leave, or the believers told him to leave. Well, they're back in Thessalonica, and they said, well, where'd he go? Look what they do. The Jews had knowledge that the word of God was preached of Paul at Berea. They came thither also and stirred up the people. They followed Paul around, just like the first journey. Right. These Judeans wanted to stop the preaching of the word, so they followed him to Berea. Even after the troubles of Thessalonica, they followed him. Verse 14, and then immediately the brethren sent away Paul again, as it were to the sea. They pretended that they were going to set sail out to the ocean, maybe back to Jerusalem or whatever, but Silas and Timothy abode there. So Silas and Timothy stayed back at Berea, and they sent Paul away. And verse 15, and they conducted Paul, brought him unto Athens. And that's down there. They brought Paul all the way down to Athens, and Timothy and Silas stayed back. And they that conducted Paul brought him, verse 15, unto Athens, and receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed, they departed. So they asked them to come and join him there. Now, while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. So he's in Athens. His spirit, the Spirit of God, is welling up. And he hadn't come on this journey before, had he? Right? This is now beyond the first journey. So he's well into new territory, and he sees Athens is full of idolatry. And he got a little bit, the Spirit of God welled up within him. And as you know, this is where he does a wonderful teaching on the unknown God. Right? Teaches him at Mars Hill. A wonderful teaching. We'll go down to Acts chapter 18. Some believed, some didn't. This is where Paul said, well, we'll hear thee again. And Paul left. We looked at that 2 weeks ago when we were looking at Paul's stand for the truth. Acts 18, verse 1. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, which is just a little bit further away, right, down to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. So here's Aquila and Priscilla, who come all the way from Rome, right, Italy, and back to where Paul now is at Corinth. And this is a couple that Paul would spend much time with over the next few years, off and on. He would spend time with Aquila and Priscilla, and this is where he first met them in Corinth. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue, here it is, his manner, every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, so now by this point Silas and Timothy rejoined Paul, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go on the Gentiles. The same pattern that he had started doing in his first journey. When the Jews, Judeans didn't believe, he would go to the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose synagogue house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed in the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there 1 year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Right. So Paul, this is roughly around 52 to 54 AD. So the first itinerary was somewhere in the neighborhood of 4. This is all more than about 10 years later after the first journey. You don't get that sense when you're reading through the book of Acts, but it's almost 10 years later. And Paul is now at Corinth, and he spends 1 year and 6 months there. And this is where we're going to leave the Apostle Paul this week, his 1 year and 6 months teaching the word of God in Corinth. And we'll pick up the next time we're together where he goes to from there. So a lot of wonderful things to look at in the journeys. Gets a little bit of sense in your mind how the word of God first moved out to Syria, Cilicia, and Galatia, that area. And the next journeys, how the word of God started to move out to greater areas, further and further out as the word of God was spoken. Right? And it's also interesting to note that every time the word of God was spoken, there was always some form of resistance from some point of view, always a resistance, right, to try to make the word of God not be spoken. But as we saw a couple of weeks ago, never really deterred Paul, did it? He stood and spoke the word of God. And here, we're going to stop here because at this point we start to see a little bit of some of the things Paul wrote in the epistles took place in Corinth, and we'll look at that a little bit next time with Paul, Silas, and Timothy at Corinth. Okay?